How many of you has God been good to tonight? I'll tell you what, we could never thank Him enough for all that He's done for us. And what a blessing it is. I'd ask you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 28. A very familiar passage of Scripture. How many of you believe that the Lord's coming back soon? How many of us are living that way? Yeah, you know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to live it. And I want to encourage you all to make sure that we're living it, that we show others that we truly believe it. But He hasn't come yet, which means we just need to continue doing what the Lord has called us to do. And we'll begin reading in verse 19. As I said earlier, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 8. When you have your place, please say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Father in heaven, Lord, please use me as your messenger tonight. Father, I pray that you would direct my thoughts. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I ask you to be with our pastor and Miss Linda. I pray, Father, that you would touch their bodies and heal them, that you would allow him to get better, and Father, that you'd bring him back to be here on the Lord's house on Sunday. And Lord, we love our pastor. Father, we're here tonight because we need to hear from you. Father, I pray that you would take your word, and I pray that you'd just speak to us, Father. Lord, help us to realize that we need you, and we need to obey you. And Father, we do believe that you are coming, and Father, we want you to come soon to take us out of this world. But until then, Father, help us not to sit around waiting for you to come, but Lord, help us to be busy. Help us to do that which you've commanded us to do. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts and, Lord, examine ourselves to see what we're doing, to see if we are indeed carrying out your will that you've given us. Father, I thank you for your word, and I just pray that you would bless it. Lord, I want to invite you to be in this service tonight. Father, without you, as Pastor says all the time, Father, without your presence, we've come here in vain. But Lord, I pray that you would move in our midst. I pray the Holy Spirit would have his free will tonight. Lord, may Christ be lifted up. Father, I thank you for all that you do in my life. I thank you for all that you've done, what you're going to do. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would just challenge each and every person that's here, everyone that's listening, whether it be tonight or in the future through the videos. Lord, we just pray that you would stir hearts and change lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much. Just to kind of give you a background with how the Lord saved me on the mission field in Spain. And I've shared my testimony many times, how he took me across the ocean to hear the gospel, even though I grew up in the Bible Belt. And sometimes God has to do those things. And, you know, a lot of times you could even grow up in a Christian home and not be a Christian. And so just keep those things in mind. But when God called me to preach, it was a definite call. The pastor that I had at the time, I went to him and God was dealing with me. And I asked him, I said, "How do you know if God's calling you to preach?" And the pastor said, "I wondered when you were going to surrender." Now, did that sound like it answered the question to you? That did not answer my question, but it did answer the question. And he was convinced God was dealing with me at the same time. But I've never gotten past that. Of course, we know that the calling of God is without repentance, and that God calls you, and you may not be qualified, but he'll qualify you. Amen. None of us are qualified to do what God wants us to do, but he qualifies us. He enables us. And I'm so thankful that God has enabled me to be in the ministry, and I praise him that I can preach his word. I'm not worthy of it. I'm definitely not the best representation that should be preaching his word, but I'm just thankful that he allows me to do it anyways. And if you're a preacher, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But when we were went to Bible college and we went to Crown over here, and God began to deal with me about going back to the mission field where I was saved at, and to go back to Spain and reach souls for Christ, and to do what we could. And so we surrendered to go to Spain, and that was in October of 1995. And when we did, we surrendered. I, of course, graduated in 1999. And we joined Macedonia World Baptist Missions and became one of their missionaries, started with the intention that we were going to raise support and get to the mission field. And I was working full-time at Plastiline. Any of you remember Plastiline? It was off of Emory. I used to work there. And I was praying one Wednesday night at work. I was like, Lord, you called me to go to the mission field. And Father, I need to get busy on deputation. I need to, you know, get meetings so that we can get to the field, because that's what you've called me to do. Well, I show up to work that following Friday, and they laid me off. And so I began doing what was natural. By the way, we only had one supporting church for $35 a month at that time. But I started calling around, and God filled my calendar. And, of course, if you know anything about deputation, you've got to call churches and basically try to be a salesman. I absolutely hate that part of it. But you have to get meetings in order to get support so that you can go to the field and do what God's called you to do. Well, God got us to the field in 2 years. And that's just Him. I mean, it's nothing to do with us. It's just the Lord, how He works. But anyways, I filled up my calendar. I got a little bit ahead of myself. But then, a week later, I get a phone call from Plastiline. They're like, we want you to come back to work. Well, now I had a decision to make. God has filled my calendar, of which if I go back to work, I'm going to have to cancel those meetings, or I'm just going to have to trust the Lord. Does anyone remember how much support I had coming in at one time? $35 a month. Four or three children at the time. The math doesn't work out, does it? But I want to testify to the Lord tonight and for the Lord tonight. We never missed a bill. We never ran out of gas, never lost our home or cars, and believe me, I used to be a whole lot bigger than I am now. Didn't miss any meals. God took care of us. And I think a lot of times we lose sight of that. I think we lose sight that if God tells us to do something, He is going to take care of us if we will obey Him. And as we see what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the church in Matthew 28, and when He reiterated it in Acts chapter 1, His whole intention was for us to go and tell people about Christ. Start at home. Broaden out. And go to the uttermost part of the earth, sharing the gospel. Now, God hasn't called everyone to be a missionary to a different place or you know, to leave and go to different parts of the world, but He does still call people to do that. And I've not seen a whole lot of people surrendering anymore to be a preacher or be a missionary. And by the way, those are one and the same, if you just ask me. But when you think about these things, is God worthy of our service? Is God worthy of our life? That if He were to say, I want you to do this and I want you to do that, would you be willing to do what He said to do? Now, God has dealt with me throughout the years about faith. And He has proven Himself time and time and time again. God has never failed. I've never had to say, well God, I thought you were going to do this or take care of me. Never once. I wish I could say the same. But God has always kept His part of the bargain. Aren't you glad about that? And as we think about it, we need to understand today, you know, a lot of times we lose sight of the church belongs to Christ. The body, it belongs to Christ. It doesn't belong to a man. You'll hear our pastor say very clearly, He is the under-shepherd, that Christ is the shepherd of this church, and rightly so. And as we think about what is taking place, God is still wanting people to be saved. He is still wanting people to hear the gospel, and He wants people to hear the gospel from you. Now, if you heard me, raise your hand. If you understand what you means, raise your hand. All right, some of you don't understand what you means. Raise your hand, and that means you. All right? There are people in this world who will only listen to you. They won't listen to me. They might listen to this brother or this sister, but they'll listen to you. And if you're saved, God has given you a commission. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher or Sunday school teacher, deacon. If you're saved, if you've been born again, God has given you the Great Commission to tell others about Christ. And the reason that our nation is in the shape that it's in today is because we've lost sight of that. We've gotten comfortable in the church house. We've gotten comfortable going through the routine of being in church. And you ought to be in church, don't get me wrong. But we also need to be out there talking about the Lord. It's easy to talk about the Lord in the church, is it not? And it should be. But it also ought to be easy to talk about the Lord in the world. Because the world needs to hear about our Lord and Savior. The world needs to know who Christ is and that He wants to know them. I mean, He knows who they are, but they need to know Him as their personal Savior. He loves them. He cares about them. And so many times we get caught up with being Pharisees. Honestly, we get saved and then we start living righteously, and we should. But then we try to hold other people accountable for the way they're living, knowing that they're lost. How should a lost person live? Well, I don't expect a lost person to live like a Christian. I don't expect a lost person to, pattern their lives after what we're doing because they don't know Christ yet. And really, they should pattern their life after Christ, not me or any of us. Christ is our example. In the teen Sunday school class for the last 2 weeks, I've been teaching on Pharisees. And you know how the Pharisee, especially the Pharisee that went into the temple and prayed, how the Bible said that he prayed with himself. He didn't pray to God. He was praying to himself because he thinks he is God, because all he could do is tell God about how good he was and what all he was doing. And of course, the root of that is pride. And then you had the publican, the tax collector, come in, and he's praying, but he couldn't even lift up his eyes towards heaven. And while the Pharisee is saying, I'm glad I'm not even like this publican, the publican was too worried about his own status before the Lord, and he humbled himself, and he prayed, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And of course, Jesus said that he left righteous. And I pointed out the fact that the Pharisee did not leave righteous. He left unrighteous. And there are so many people today, even in Baptist churches, you know, we have a tendency to be Pharisees, where we have all of our I's dotted, we have our T's crossed, we dress right, we hold the right Bible, we say amen at the right time, and, you know, we're in our place where we need to be, but how often do we really glimpse at God for who He is? And then are convicted in our own heart that we are not where we need to be, that we aren't doing what we need to be doing. And when I think about missions, we support missionaries. The book is there on the table in the foyer there. But how many of us read those letters? How many of us even know what our missionaries are doing or what their names are? And, usually at the churches I'm a member of, I know who they are. Sadly, I don't know all of our missionaries here, but I should. And I should know what's going on in their field. But those missionaries that we support should be able to know that the members of Temple Baptist Church, that we're doing our part in reaching Knoxville. That we're doing our part in reaching the state of Tennessee and this nation and other countries. Not just by supporting those missionaries in foreign fields, but helping others. And hopefully sending our own membership out as missionaries. What a blessing that would be. I tell you what, it's a special thing to have your own missionary that you can send out from your own flock that is going to go and represent Christ in a foreign land or even in another state or wherever the case may be. These are wonderful things. And Christ, this was His whole desire. His desire was never for a church to be established and then stop. It was always about multiplying itself, recreating itself, but it's His church. He's going to build it. And too many times we have men trying to build church, and we need to quit that. God's going to build it. What we need to do, if we want to help, is go and sow seed, go and water, and allow God to give the increase. And we know these things, but again, knowing things doesn't mean we're practicing things. And so when you think about that, how many of you think that our nation is in trouble? Can I get you to turn for me to Nehemiah chapter 2? I believe it's still in the Old Testament. Yeah, there it is. Nehemiah chapter 2. When you get there, say amen. If you need more time, say, woe is me. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And of course, he was speaking of Jerusalem. He was speaking of his homeland, of where God had done great and mighty, wonderful things and works and miracles in establishing a nation. But now it's been destroyed, just as God prophesied that it would. And Nehemiah was burdened. He was overwhelmed with emotion. I don't know about you, but I remember when America seemed to be a whole lot greater than what it is today. I'm talking spiritually. I'm not talking about great finances and wealth. I'm talking about spiritually blessed, this nation. And I look at it today, and it's in ruins. Thank God we have a remnant. I'm not saying that we don't have a remnant, but I'm saying it's not what it used to be. And it burdens my heart. For those of you who don't know, I went to Wyoming the week after Christmas, and the reason I went was a church called me to candidate as a pastor. And so we went out there, and as I was out there, and I'd already been familiar with this church 6 or 7 years ago. I went through there for a missionary training course that one of our other directors from Macedonia held, and I got to know the pastor a little bit. But the members that I met then, they're no longer there, but there was new membership there in this church that called me. And so we went out there, Patsy and I did. And God just really, he really answered prayers in this, because I had been praying beforehand, Lord, please open the door. You've called me to preach, and I know you want me to preach. And Lord, I just prayed that you might open the door for me. Well, the next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the director I used to work with. And he says, hey, this church just came open. And I was like, really? Does God work in those kind of circumstances? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. I mean, these things just come to pass as God says. And if our heart's desire is to carry out his will, what does God say that he is going to do? He will accomplish it. And as we went out there, our hearts mended with these members of this church, and I was able to preach for them. But also at the same time, I found out that not only was this church without a pastor, there was a church in Montana without a pastor. There was another church in Wyoming without a pastor. And it's sad, because churches in Wyoming are not close. You may drive 1 hour or 2 hours to the closest like-minded church. Whereas churches around here, how far do we have to drive to find a like-minded church? Not far. Not far at all. But out there, it's bad enough there's not many churches at all, but they're losing their pastors. And as we think about this, my heart's burdened. How many people write into this church? We don't have a church like Temple in California. We don't have a church like Temple in all these other states. And of course, I was thinking, well, why don't we go start churches in these areas? And that's just my thinking. It doesn't mean that that's what God wants every one of us to do, but you know, we ought to be thinking, well, why not go start churches? Does God want us to start new churches? What do you think? What's the Great Commission? What'd Paul do? Now, Paul, did he reach the whole world? He didn't, but he wanted to. Amen? Has the whole world been reached yet? What do you think? It's not been reached yet. But what I'm trying to get across tonight is the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. It hasn't reached its expiration point. We keep saying Christ is coming back, and He is coming back. And I want Him to come back. I'm ready to go home. Amen? But until then, the Great Commission is still in effect. Until He takes the church out, which will take the Holy Spirit out, we have a job to do. And when we think about it, God laid that church on my heart. I can't stop thinking about Buffalo, Wyoming. And what God wants to do there. And the church called me last Sunday night and said that they want me to be their pastor. And I praise the Lord for that. And I'm going to go. But I want you to know there are other places that need churches. There are other places that do not have a church established. And we have lots of preachers in this church. Amen? That's a blessing. What a blessing that is. But I think we could have more preachers. You say, how's that? If you'll say, I'll go. See, God's not going to call everyone. How many of you understand that? You can breathe a sigh of relief. God may not call you, but are you willing to say, God, if you want me to, I'll do it. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah chapter 6. And again, this is not really a sermon or it's just thoughts that God has given me that I would like to speak with you. It's on my heart, and I just would like to share it with you. But Isaiah chapter 6, it's very special because it's the verse that the Lord used to call me to Spain. But it's also a verse that we should have in our own heart every single day of our life. Because how many of you believe God wants to use you in a special way? Do you really believe that? Are you willing to allow God to use you however He sees fit? See, a lot of times we want God to use us, but we'll put parameters. All right, Lord, I want you to use me, but here's what I want. Well, that's restricting the Lord from doing what He wants to do. God wants us to give Him a clean slate. God wants us to give Him a blank piece of paper, if you will. And you just say, Lord, please fill it out. Then He'll answer for you. Okay? But in Isaiah chapter 6, if you have it, say amen. I kind of lost my place there. But anyways, in verse 1 it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. Excuse me. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Now I want you to see, here we have Isaiah. He sees the Lord. He sees the holiness of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, this is what we should do in our own life. Let's not look at one another. Don't compare yourself to me. I cannot compare myself to you. Or compare yourself to Pastor Lawson. And he's not to compare himself with you. We're to compare ourselves with the Lord. And when Isaiah saw this, when he saw the holiness of the Lord, and he saw the glory of the Lord, then he says, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Aren't you glad God forgives our sins? That He cleanses us from all unrighteousness? Verse 8, Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for... what's that next word? Us. I wonder who he's speaking about. The Trinity? Who will go for us? Let us make man in our image. Amen? And so here we have it. God is looking for someone to send that will go for him, the Godhead. Then said I, here am I, send me. And of course, God tells him to go and talk his people. Go talk, tell them about God. He says, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to care. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is, God wants us to go tell people, even if they don't want to hear. Even if they're not going to receive what we have to say, because God wants to give everyone a chance. How many of you believe that? God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And God is asking us to not force people to accept what we have to say, but rather to give them an opportunity to hear what we have to say. Actually, what he has to say. It doesn't matter what I have to say. It matters what his word says. And so many times we get in arguments with people about our beliefs. How many of you have ever been in an argument with someone about your beliefs? Stop. It doesn't matter what we believe. You say, what are you talking about? We believe the Bible. I understand that. Let's get them into the Word of God. Because the argument is no longer between our beliefs and their beliefs. If we get them into the Word of God and we can show them what the Bible says, then it's an argument between what they believe and what God has said. And we don't have to worry about winning the battle because God's already won the battle. And too many times we take it personal, or at least I have to speak for myself, we'll take it personal when we get into a argument, if you will, a communication, a conversation about religion. Listen, I don't have religion, and you shouldn't have religion. We have Christ. And we have the Word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. And when we think about it, if we can quit telling people, well, I believe this and I believe that, everybody has beliefs, correct? But if we'll just say, well, listen, this is what the Bible says. I mean, you might follow up, well, I believe this because I believe God. But again, get them to read what God has to say, then their argument's with him. And it's not with us. And we'll have greater peace. And God, it's his word that will work in their heart to either harden their heart or to win them over to himself. And God is always, even Pharaoh, he gave Pharaoh a chance, did he not? He knew what Pharaoh would do. But he gave Pharaoh many opportunities to get right. Why? Because God is not going to be accused of sending people to hell just because he's mean, right? He's not willing that any should perish. Christ died for every man. And we need to understand that. And as we get into these things, when we look around and we see what people are doing, it is amazing how many times we lose sight of what we should be doing because we get caught up in our routines, in our comfort, if you will. I'm comfortable at this level in my spiritual life. Would to God that none of us would ever say that. I hope that I will never get comfortable being as I am, spiritually speaking, with the Lord. Even the Apostle Paul said he had not attained unto what he should have attained. And I think he was the greatest missionary of all times outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he was the greatest preacher outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that was in this world, and he stated that he had not yet attained what he should be. And it wasn't because he was being false, showing false humility. It's because he was being honest before the Lord. He knew his failures. He could never get past his failures. You know, it's easy for God to get past our failures, and I'm thankful for that, but I can't get past my failures. I have a hard time with me. What about you? Well, you may have a hard time with me too, but I'm talking about yourself. You know, the thing is, you know, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves where we made mistakes or we willingly sinned or whatever the case may be, but God is always willing to forgive us if we will truly repent. And God is always willing to help others come to repentance, to bring them about to where he can work in their lives. How many of you remember John Mark, who went out with Barnabas and Paul on one of their missionary journeys, but then he returned home? How did Paul feel about John Mark? He wasn't too happy with him. And then when it was time to go to another place, Barnabas still wanted to take John Mark with him. And Paul's like, no way, no how. We're not going to have it. It's just not going to happen. And it was talking about the contention was so sharp between them that they split ways. And so Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. But I'm glad that later on we find Paul saying that John Mark was profitable to the ministry. See, there are people that they either mess up or they get away from God or they run from God and they get out of the ministry for a while. But then God allows them through his grace and mercy to come back and to get back involved. And I'm glad that the Lord does that. What about you? I'm glad God is the God of umpteen million opportunities and chances. Amen. I'm glad he's not like me. You mess me over and we're done. No, God's not that way. And I'm glad about that. And I praise his holy name for that. And so when we think of that in Ezekiel chapter 22, if you'll turn there quickly, and I'll get through rambling here in just a minute. But brothers and sisters, yes, I believe Christ is coming back at any time. But does that mean we just stop what we're doing and look heavenward and say, well, he didn't come today. I'll get up in the morning and look outside again. No, he wants us to be busy. He wants us to be doing his will. He wants us to be telling others. He wants us to look for opportunities. Amen? But I mentioned the churches that were without pastors today. I mentioned, and it's not just out west. I mean, it's here in the east too. What about churches that are closing their doors forever? That's not God's desire. That's not his will at all. Christ said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And lesser attacks than the gates of hell have happened, and many churches have closed their doors. And there's no need in debating whether they're true churches or not. It doesn't matter. It's a sad testament. It's a sad testimony that churches are closing their doors because God wants more churches to be open. But here in Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning in verse 23, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Do we see that today? Do we see that in so-called churches today? Where the priests are devouring the people in the name of religion. They're devouring their money and widows. They're not taking care of them. Do we see that? Do we see churches today not putting a difference between holy and profane? We do see that. It's happening in our day. We see these things. And it happened back then as well. But they make no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I am profane among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets, notice he did not say, and my prophets. He said her prophets. Think about that. Have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. We have preachers today that will tell their congregation, God wants you to be happy with yourself. God just wants you to enjoy life. Now, does God want us to enjoy life? Sure, he does. Does God just want us to be happy with ourselves no matter what we're doing? Not if you read the Bible. Now, if you're doing what you should be doing, you're going to be happy. Guaranteed. If you're carrying out God's will in your life and you're obeying the Lord, you will be happy because you'll have the peace of the Lord. And that gives you great joy. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? But when you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do, do you have joy? Do you have peace? No, you're miserable. Right? But here, they're saying, well, the Lord said this when God hadn't said a thing like that. Be careful who you listen to. And no matter who it is, myself, Pastor Lawson, or any other preacher, Look at what they're saying. Look in the Bible. Does it agree? If it disagrees with the Bible, believe the Bible. Amen? And we need to understand that. We need to get back to that. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now look here. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found how many? None. What if God is gazing down from heaven tonight in the Temple Baptist Church? And what if he is saying, I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for someone that I can use to make up the hedge. I'm looking for someone that is willing to fill in the gap, to represent me, and to give out the truth. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'll do it? I think about our teenage young boys around here, young men. How many of them are willing? How many of them are even pondering, what if God would use me? What if God wants to use me? I guarantee the majority of our teens don't even think that way. It's sad because we ought to be training our children from a young age. You should always seek what God wants. You should always be ready to let God do what He wants to do in your life. But too many times today, we want them to be a professional athlete. We want them to be a lawyer or a doctor. And there's nothing wrong with being those things if that's what God wants you to be. But the number one priority, God deserves the preeminence, and the first desire in our heart ought to be, Lord, what would you want me to do? Then we can plan. Because if we're seeking Him first and we allow Him to answer, by the way, then we'll be on the right path. How many of you understand what I'm saying? But here, God's looking for someone to stand in the gap. He was looking in Isaiah for someone to send. What happens if there's a need in this church? Is there someone that's going to stand up and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but if you'll help me, I'll do it. Would you be willing to do that? And if not, why? Again, as I said earlier, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to do the things that I'm doing, but God qualifies me. He's the one that called me. He's the one that prepared me. He's the one that uses me. As long as I allow Him to use me. And He'll do the same thing for every person. God is no respecter of persons. How many of you understand that? And God is willing to use whoever wants to be used. Now, He was looking for that man to make up the hedge. He was looking for that man to fill in the gap. Why? That he should not destroy the land. But the saddest part of this verse is the very end of it. But I found none. How many of you remember that message that Brother Gilliam preached Sunday morning? What a message. What a glorious message about that offering plate. And many times I've considered constructing an offering plate made out of wood big enough where people could stand in it. But the thing is, you don't have to have an offering plate. Just come and offer yourself. You can be where you're at and offer yourself. What better way could you be used than to say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I want to do. You know, many times I'll say, Lord, if it's your will, I pray that you will help me do this. Lord, if it's your will, I pray that you will help me do that. And I give Him parameters. Hello? Lord, this is what I want. Will you bless it? And then I got convicted about that the other day. And now it's like, Lord, please just show me your will and I'll do it. And that's the best way we could present ourselves to God. Lord, what is your will? Show it to me and I'll do it with your help. Because you can't do it without His help. Amen? I can't do anything without Him. I'll fail miserably. I've proven that over and over. But when God shows us, Will you be willing to say, yes, Lord? If you're really sincere in your heart and you say, Lord, I want to know what you have me to do. Please show me. And he shows you. Will you do it? Our business is the Lord's business. His will is that we share Christ with everyone. His will also is, if you're not saved, that you get saved. You need to be born again. Because if Christ does blow that trumpet, and the church is out of here, and you're lost, it's too late. It's too late. You had opportunity. Please, don't throw that opportunity away. If you're not saved, please trust Christ as your personal Savior. But these are things that were on my heart, and again, it's not a sermon. It's probably not some thing that just pumped you up and made you ready to go, but I hope it challenges you. I hope it stirs your heart at least to think about what I said. Because God is needing people to fill in the gaps in the hedges, because there are great holes in our nation today. There are holes that need to be filled in this church. Amen? You say, well, I don't know what to do. Ask Pastor what you can do. Seriously. There's always things that could be done. And so just volunteer yourself. I promise you, you won't regret it if you volunteer to the Lord. If you volunteer to the Navy, that's another story. But brothers and sisters, I just want you to think about it. God's commission is still relevant today. And while I believe we are in the last moments, seconds, however you want to describe it, it's not a permission slip to quit doing what He has commanded us to do and getting the gospel out. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll take these ramblings that I had. And Father, that's what you laid on my heart. And Lord, I just pray that you'd stir our hearts and help us all, Father, myself included, to continually submit ourselves to you. Father, that you would raise up some young men that would be preachers and missionaries. Father, even some of these older men, Lord, that you would work in their hearts. Father, we're never too old to serve you. And Lord, I know that you're willing to use anyone that wants to be used. And Father, I thank you that you do use people. Lord, I pray for the ladies of this church that you'd work in their hearts as well. Lord, we need some godly examples of ladies in the church to help other ladies. And Father, there's people in this neighborhood, this community, this region, they're waiting on people like us to bring them the gospel. Father, I pray that you put on our hearts someone that we need to speak to about the gospel. And Lord, that you would open a door of opportunity that we could go and speak with them tomorrow, tonight, or Lord, whenever the next occasion arises. I pray that you just help us to be bold and help us to try and lift up Christ to show them who He is, not who we are, but who He is. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would be with us all. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.